RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
MP on the mic. What is up, Richmond? Countdown to the NFL draft is on in earnest, probably about 13 hours away from the Washington Commanders making their selection. You'll hear it tonight live on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM, always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Welcome aboard Thursday edition. We'll talk Commanders. We'll talk NFL draft. We'll talk Shedeur Sanders sliding down the draft charts. And if you think he's sliding late in the process, you're wrong. He slid a long time ago, and people are catching up on it. Guys don't slide this late unless there's something that comes out. Laramie Tunsil, the bong video, for instance, right? That's a late slide. That's a, like, draft day freakout slide. Shedeur Sanders is not a draft day freakout slide. This has been in the works for quite a long time. We'll dive into all that. We'll get around the NFL. Tell you who I'm going to turn the card in for the Washington Commanders at 29, if the trade's not available. Would love a good trade. If it's not a good trade, I got to turn the card in. I'm going to take an edge rusher, and I want the guy best prepared for the NFL right now. So I'm going to take Donovan Ezeraku of Boston College. We'll dive into that. A lot of guys I like. And even at edge, I think you can make a very defensible case for Shamar Stewart, higher upside there. Normally, I am a higher ceiling guy. Jaden Daniels changes that calculus for me. There's hardly any position out of reach for me. I mentioned yesterday, I don't think I'd be thrilled if they took a defensive tackle. That's one of the only ones. But George pointed out to me a text, on Twitter right after, they got worked in the run game late in the season. So it's also hard to say you're content there, that you don't need to do anything there. That's not the situation either. So lots of positions of need, lots of holes to fill, lots of starters still to find, including, I think, another corner and another safety to get this group where you want them to be defensively. Certainly, if they go receiver, that's a position I feel good about right now. I'm assuming you'll get a Terry extension done. I think that's coming. And then, obviously you've got Debo. All right, you got two good players there. You add a third, though, you see the great teams have a third in that spot. So I think there's a lot of need. Only the one pick. We'll see if they make it tonight. You'll hear it here live on the air from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Biggest event in the history of Green Bay, Wisconsin. 250,000 people expected to attend the NFL draft this weekend. Anytime I do stadium rankings, Lambeau Field always number one, and then all the modern ones, and then all the new ones. Your Minnesota's and Dallas's and SoFi's and all those. Those come in second to the OG of NFL stadiums. It's actually only the second oldest NFL stadium in use right now. Soldier Field in Chicago is the first. Now, they've renovated Soldier Field. They put a spaceship-like contraption on top of it. They're talking about a new stadium out in the suburbs or a new lakefront stadium. I think Lambeau will become the oldest stadium in the NFL very soon. But it's so cool. It's if you've ever been to Wrigley in Chicago, it's the same thing. It's in a neighborhood. There's people who live across the street from Lambeau. You pay to park in their driveway, but you don't just pay to park in their driveway. You pay to be a part of their family for the day, basically. So you go into Green Bay and you don't need to find a restaurant. You pay to park, and the place where you pay to park, that family takes you in, basically. You can use their restrooms. They cook brats for you. You can hang out with them for a bit. It's instant community in Green Bay. I think that element of it is really cool as well. If you're a Packers fan, you can show up and you meet other Packers fans and you hang out and you indulge in football. There's so few of them. There's 8 or 9 home games a year. They're all super big, super important. Well, this weekend's super important for Green Bay and for all the teams about to get better, about to sell a little bit of hope. And the Commanders don't need a little bit of hope. They're on the far side of the other side of the spectrum here from what we're used to. They've got the hope in Jaden Daniels, who we saw ringside last night, Washington Capitals game. By the way, shout out to Grant Paulson. I'm sure he will relive this on Grant and Danny today at 3 o'clock when that program starts. Grant was sitting on the glass too. He's like 5 seats over from Jaden Daniels. That's a good seat if you're keeping score. It's good to be Grant. It's good to be Danny. It's good to be Grant and Danny. They're on 3-6 today before we send it over to Flying Squirrels Baseball. I want to get to the Caps. I want to get to a big win, setting the tone, 2-0 series lead. But let's start with the Flying Squirrels update. Well, I'm afraid we all know what that sound means. Good news yesterday out of the Richmond Flying Squirrels. We do have a topic to talk about with Trey Wilson on Tuesday, next week for Tuesdays with Trey. He went up matinee yesterday in Cleveland. The Cleveland Guardians were in action. He went up to go watch that, and he had, you'll have to go to his social media to see this, a hot dog with Fruit Loops on top of it. And I that's the description I've got for you. It was a hot dog with Fruit Loops on top of it. I wish I had more for you. We will next Tuesday, 11 a.m., when Trey Wilson joins the show for Tuesdays with Trey. His comment on social media was, it tastes about like you'd think it would, which doesn't do anything for me because I have actually never spent any amount of time in my life contemplating what a hot dog covered with Fruit Loops would taste like. So we're going to need to go deeper with that. Good thing we get 10 minutes with Trey every Tuesday at 11. John Michael Bertrand, opening day starter for the Squirrels, was so good last year, nearly untouchable last year. 0-3 now on the season. Squirrels dropped their third straight Wednesday night at Canal Park in Akron, 4-0. The final. Bertrand struck out 5. But it was Joe Lamp, RBI single, Alex Mooney, sacrifice fly, both against Bertrand. That 2-0 lead would hold up to the finish. Squirrels back in town next week. I have no tickets to give away today. I've had giveaways the last couple days. AWOD's still got some tickets to give away, I believe. If not today, then tomorrow during his program, he'll send you out there next Thursday for Diamonds Through the Decade night, as they throw it all the way back to the 2010s against the Somerset Patriots. That is the New York Yankees AA affiliate. That's always a popular series as the baby Yanks come to town. You throw back to the 2010s, great decade. You might remember in that decade, a certain local hockey team won the Stanley Cup. It was a lot of fun. Well, a new journey begins, and last night they got off to a great start at home.
One more chance, baby. No icing here. Hudson up the middle with 8 seconds left. Ahead on the left side. It is stepped into neutral zone. Dubois the other way for McMichael. He scores! Empty net! Connor McMichael! The Capitals are halfway home! It's 3-1 Washington!
John Walton on the Capitals Radio Network. Next time you'll hear that with us is Game 5. Games 3 and 4 you will not hear here due to Flying Squirrels Baseball. If necessary, as we say, Game 5. They're going to do it in the scariest way possible every night is what we're learning. Gave up the great first period. Second period, give up a goal, and then back-to-back, bang-bang, and that held up. But they needed all of the defense in the third. Certainly Logan Thompson in goal. I had questions. Missed the final part of the season. Would he come back? Would he be rusty? Goodness, he was not. Let's go back to John Walton.
Down the wing, taken away here by Van Riemsdyk. All three goals in this game came in the first 4:47 of the second period. One for Montreal, then two for Washington. Here's Matheson. One cross ice. And Carrier from the outside and had Thompson leading. It deflected on the way. Great stop from LT. And the Capitals clear it to center.
That's it looked like an empty net. He got back, got his stick on it, got his blocker on it just in time. Logan Thompson, 2-0. In the playoffs, of course, great playoff history in Vegas, where he was their goalie. Good acquisition for the Caps. Got Charlie Lindgren standing by if needed, but he has not been needed so far. Series moves back to Montreal at 2-0 for the Caps. So if they win one there, you feel pretty good about coming back home to close it in Game 5. Next puck drop is tomorrow night, tomorrow evening. That will coincide with round 2 of the NFL draft. That's a round the Commanders have a pick in, which you have to ask yourself. They've dealt a lot of these picks away for a little bit of talent. Laremy Tunsil, Debo Samuel, both on their way, and I don't disagree with either of those things. You gotta load up around Jaden Daniels. Gotta load up around a roster. It's got an opportunity, but by no means is guaranteed to make some noise this year. We'll talk draft. We'll get you ready again. That's tonight after Flying Squirrels Baseball. I got a good feeling about the Squirrels. I think tonight's the night. I know I say that every night, but I think tonight's the night. Get a little win, get back to the draft, get a card in for the Commanders. Of course, AWOD Radio joins us for Crosstalk at 11:45, his program noon to 3, and we'll remind you Monday we will be live from Capitol Ale House starting at 11:30, regular studio show 10 to 11:30. Then I will join AWOD at Capitol Ale House, draft recap show, rally towels for the first folks to come find us there, have lunch with us at Capitol Ale House as we break down the NFL draft. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to a great program today. Stubman on the ones and the twos. Thank you for that. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Countdown to the NFL draft continues. Here's the game plan. You'll hear Richmond Flying Squirrels Baseball on Thursday and Friday nights. And then when it's done, when Trey Wilson has sang the last song, we will send you out to Westwood One's national coverage of the NFL draft. You'll be in plenty of time to hear whatever the Commanders do. Thanks to Nikki Javala for dropping by, talking all things draft. I think that's what everybody has said, which is we want to see a trade back. There is wide consensus approval for a trade back. There's a little leeriness. Can they trade back? Does anybody want to be their trade partner? Would anybody like to be Adam Peters' trade buddy in trading back? I think it will take him creating a market here, right? A fifth-year option for a Jalen Milroe. Somebody like that, where you get excited about a quarterback, you want to bring him in with the cost control, feels like a reach to me. If every team picks, as it stands right now, this would be the first draft ever where every team makes a first-round selection. Right now, all 32 teams set to do that. I think the Commanders want out. Can they get out? That is another story. That's another situation where you've got so many different trade options. You've got so many different possibilities. You can take a player. I think you can get a starter. I think you can get immediate impact. But if you can get out and get more picks, you're not the normal NFC championship game team. This wasn't the normal team that has spent 4 years knocking on that door, 5 years knocking on that door, and finally you have the veteran core ready to take the next step, and you're looking for that guy to push you over the top. This is a team that got assembled last year, last offseason by Adam Peters. This is a team that came together with Dan Quinn and caught a lot of people by surprise, me included, last year on their way to the NFC title game. And this is a team that is going to face some headwinds this year because everybody's ready for him. Everybody knows Jaden Daniels, you don't take him lightly. You don't say, okay, he's a rookie. The guys are going to be grinding on that tape this offseason, ready to throw some things at him and stop him. Now, as the season went on, you saw a lot of defenses use a lot of concepts against him, and a lot of them worked for about a quarter. He was really good at adjusting on the fly, on the sideline. I think Cliff Kingsbury plays a role in that, and I think one of the real benefits of this season is Cliff Kingsbury's coming back for another year. You think about his journey. It was fascinating to hear Cliff share at the end of last year that, you know, he's always been a smart football mind, but he felt Dan Quinn really taught him the personnel and the human side of the game, and you saw it with the connection they had and with their ability to withstand that three-game slide in the middle of the season where some talk radio people, yours truly included, we're wondering, is he falling off the cliff again? But he rebounded, and he steadied the ship all the way to the NFC title game, put on a masterclass against the Detroit Lions. That's part of why I don't mind going offense at 29. You've probably only got him for a year or two at most. I think he's going to be a head coach in the NFL. I do wonder, and I think the answer is an emphatic no, but I do wonder if the defense struggles again. If the defense is 30th in the league again and the offense carries them to the NFC title game and Cliff Kingsbury's ready to bounce, could you rearrange the chairs? My guess is you couldn't, out of a sense of loyalty, if nothing else, from Cliff. You remember that was discussed briefly when Sean McVay left for the Rams, because we all knew Sean McVay was going to be a star in the league. And Jay Gruden, tons of respect for him, he knows Sean McVay. You knew who the better coach was in the building. The org chart was labeled wrong, though. Would Sean McVay have taken the job if you had slid Jay out? And I asked him about that once, and he said, I absolutely wouldn't have even thought about it for a second, because he said he owed so much of his success and visibility to the Grudens, Jay and John, that he would never, you know, stab a guy in the back like that and take his job. I think Cliff Kingsbury's the same. These are good problems to have, as they say, but that's the next real inflection point for this team when Cliff Kingsbury bounces. We talk about Dan Quinn learning from his time in Atlanta, Dan Quinn learning from the lumps he took after Kyle Shanahan left. That will be the next moment where you say, okay, what did you learn in that time? What are you going to do to ensure this is sustainable? And it doesn't hurt to have number five on your team. That covers over a lot of things. But I also think if Adam Peters says, let's load up the offense, let's get this guy some help, offensive lineman, I'll love it. I'll come on the radio Friday morning, I'll love it. I'll holler at Adam on Monday at Capitol House. I'll say, I love it, at the Draft Recap Show. Draft Recap Show Monday, by the way. Adam will be at Capitol Ale House noon to 3. I'll drop by, do the final couple segments from 11:30 to noon that day. Going to give away Commanders rally towels. It is never a bad time to get ready for the 2025 Washington Commanders football season. And you might even argue draft weekend is a particularly great time to get ready for the 2025 Commanders season, which you'll hear right here on The Fan. It's going to be a subdued weekend because it's going to be a lot of guys who are high upside, who are prospects. Y'all know I'm going to get excited if they take an offensive lineman. You hear some names that I think would be fan base exciting. Travion Henderson. I mentioned I was hanging out with Grant Paulson. He loves him some Travion Henderson. And Pride of Hopewell. Who wouldn't? I would not be as excited about that. I just think there's a lot of needs on defense, and I think you at least need to try for balance. I'm not saying you'll get balance, But I think you need to try for balance. I think you need to make an honest attempt at balance on the roster. As much for Dan Quinn and as much for Joe Witt as anything. You have to find a way to get them 11 legitimate starters on defense. Injuries happen. Adversity happens. But if you don't give them 11 legitimate starters, we see what happens when football teams have weaknesses. They pick on those weaknesses. Edge rusher is a weakness right now. And that's why I keep saying I've made my pick, and it's Donovan Ezeraku. He's ready right now, Boston College pass rusher. There are a ton of guys I'd like. If anything, Emeka Egbuka is a guy who, as wide receiver, I'd get excited about. He feels like he's cut from the Terry McLaurin, Mikey Sanders still cloth. And I think he would be a great addition to the room. But you get an edge rusher, you get immediate production at an important position. And you get immediate contributions, makes everybody else's life easier. defensive tackle, you load it up with some beef there, but there are some uncertainties. And I think you want to complement that with a good edge rusher. In the secondary, I'd take a corner or a safety. Y'all know I'm not in on Marshawn Lattimore being a 17-game player this year for this team. And right now, the way the roster's drawn out on paper, they're counting on Marshawn Lattimore being a 17-game player for this team. And then Nicky Javala mentioned linebacker. Don't sleep on linebacker. Bobby Wagner, I love him. I never say a bad word about him to his face. I think he's most effective if you can give him 70% of the snaps, if you can get him rotated out every third series, every fourth series. I think that's the best use of Bobby Wagner at this point in his career. And if you count on getting 18 weeks of Bobby Wagner, you set yourself up for potential disappointment. There's not a lot of NFL experience at that position. Should be a fun weekend. And of course, we'll follow everything else. The Steelers, their drama with Aaron Rodgers. Will they take a quarterback? The Cowboys, their drama. They're not good at football right now. And it's so refreshing to say that. The Giants, how will they botch the third pick? We'll find out together as we listen to the NFL draft. Shedeur Sanders is certainly, I think, a major mystery player here in this draft. Y'all know Awad and I banter back and forth on Travis Hunter, and we may even do that again today during Crosstalk. It's hard to know which way the winds will blow. Congrats to our Squirrels ticket winner. More opportunities to win throughout the week right here on the Fan. Squirrels baseball tonight, of course. We'll step aside, a little Crosstalk on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, getting you ready for the NFL draft. You'll hear it right here Thursday night. Set your alarm if you want to hear the Washington Commanders pick, because they are number 29 overall, if they pick. We'll break that down right now. Nicky Javala joins us from the Washington Post. Nicky, good morning. How's it going? Haven't seen you in forever.
Good. How are you?
How's little dude?
He's great. Yeah. Sleeping currently, so yeah.
We got to get you offline then, so you can get to sleep. Because I went to, so it doesn't change. I went to the Caps game last night, and so I missed bedtime. Came back, you know, got home very late last night, so I got the 5:30 wake up of like, hey, missing you,
nice.
Missing you. Just come
nice.
To say hey.
Yeah.
Can't be mad about that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I got the 12:30 wake up and then the 3:30 a.m. wake up and then the 6 a.m. wake up. So, yeah.
You're ready for the draft.
You're doing great. Yeah, let's go.
And this just announced, North Carolina, Bill Belichick's first game will be in Ireland against TCU. Bill Belichick in Ireland for his Tar Heels opener. I only mentioned that because I know Nicky rocks with the powder blue there. What do you call it? What's the color of blue? It's not powder blue.
It's I don't know. It's like a special. We have
Carolina,
like a trademark
Carolina
on that.
Blue, yeah.
Carolina. Yeah. It's I hate to admit this, but I might be taking a 1 year hiatus from my Tar Heel fandom. I don't know about all this.
Kansas basketball had the Morris twins that 1 year, so I'm not in a position to throw any rocks in this glass house. Nicky Javala joins us from the Washington Post, covers the Commanders and the NFL. You have two stories online, one about the offense, one about the defense. That's what you have to do at 29 because you don't know what's going to fall to them. Is there a sense that you have of maybe which direction in a perfect world they would like to lean?
Honestly, no, because I think they have so many options available to them. I mean, and that's sort of the credit to what they built up so far. And of course, Jaden Daniels, having a quarterback settles a lot of things. And they did get some help in free agency, just in trading for Laremy, well, not free agency, with the trades mainly, with Laremy Tunsil, trading for Deebo Samuel. And they started to beef up the defensive line in free agency. There's still some holes to fill, a couple to me that seem more glaring than others, but honestly, I feel like the ideal scenario, if you can try find a trade partner, which is, you can't discount the other half of that, is trading out of the first and finding somebody at the top of the second, you know, get an extra pick. They only have 5 picks going in. So if they can add an extra one and not lose a ton of value, that would be ideal. The question is, in this draft, where it's, you know, widely perceived as generally weaker, especially with the quarterbacks, will they be able to find a trading partner that will want to move up? But I'm in the middle of doing my mock, and I have them trading back. I'm not going to give away all my secrets.
No.
Because, you know, I can't do that.
Make my subscription now worthwhile here. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's when is it like Adam Peters going to be calling everybody, like talking up Jalen Milroe? Like, you want to get in the first round? You got to come get your guy. Like, he's got to create right. the market here, and then
right.
the trade back.
Because, exactly.
Because I don't think anybody disagrees with you have a quarterback. You got to move all in. Mm-hmm. You got to do it while he's on a rookie contract. But this isn't a team that doesn't have any holes. I mean, this isn't the Eagles or the Chiefs where you're like,
right.
hey, there's a couple holes. There are a number of positions where they could really right. use a bona fide starter.
Definitely. I mean, I look at edge. I look at corner. There's still so much uncertainty with the secondary as a whole, especially with, you know, Jerry Beechin left in free agency. You know, how do they really view Sainer still long-term? Would they prefer that he move back inside? Do they like him outside? Can Marshon Lattimore improve? I still think whether he's, you know, improved or not, they still need another outside corner. Safety, don't know how they're going to use those guys. Quan Martin played the post mostly last year, but they got a lot of versatile pieces in the secondary and not a ton of clarity, which, again, is not all that different from how they started last season. But they do need help there. And then I feel like linebacker gets overlooked, too, just because they have Bobby Wagner yep. and Frankie Louvu back, but they literally have nobody behind them. The only linebacker behind them is Nick Ballore, who is a 35-year-old special teams ace, and Jordan McGee, who could be a good player, but as of now has 16 defensive snaps under his belt. And I know Adam Schefter put this out there earlier the other day. I would not be surprised if they really like that kid from UCLA, Carl Schweisinger. I mean, he's walking at UCLA. You know who else was walking at UCLA? Adam Peters.
Nikki, connecting all that. You've got the board with the string, and you're
yeah.
connecting all the dots there as you get ready for the draft. You mentioned Bobby Wagner, who I am so glad Bobby Wagner is here. He's obviously a great presence, but I don't think Bobby Wagner's best use here is 100% of the snaps this year. I would agree with you. That point. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned a lot of different positions here. I want to talk about a couple of guys in last year's draft real quick, and that is Luke McCaffrey and Ben Sinnott. Mm-hmm. I don't think mm-hmm. either of them would be classified as impact players last year. Do you have a sense of, you know, what a second year jump might look like for them and maybe what their emergence could mean for the big picture if they can pull that off?
Yeah, I'll start with McCaffrey. I think the big thing for him is just sort of refining, you know, his technique, his route running, finding ways to get open. A part of it, too, for both of them is just simply involvement. You know, Sinnott didn't get a whole lot of involvement in the offense. But I think that they both can sort of refine their pass catching. For McCaffrey, he's still fairly new to the position, a receiver, because he was playing quarterback going into college. But then if he can sort of take a step on his own with, you know, his technique, you know, sort of the nuance of the position, that should help him a lot. I also think special teams is huge. If he can find a way to prove himself there, he can get more time on offense. And then Sinnott, yeah, I think he's one that simply needs more touches. I know there's some raw spots in his game, no doubt. I think he could improve on both facets, blocking and pass catching. But I think ultimately you gotta have experience. You gotta get those reps in game. And with Zach Ertz returning, John Bates on a 3-year deal, it could be a little bit difficult to find his spots here and there. But I still think there's a way to get him more touches. The question is, do they draft another one and start to plan for the future without Zach Ertz? Because he's on another 1 year. But, could this be the last year of his career? Maybe. So we'll see how that room sort of shakes out. But, I'd like to see Sinnott get some more touches.
It's you can't know until you know, and they'll get plenty of opportunities this year. Nikki Javala covers the Washington Commanders. Big picture, I don't let anybody get out of here without asking them about Jaden Daniels, because he's very important. What does a second year look like if it's successful? Is it a step forward? Is it maintaining? Is it cleaning things up? Is it just not regressing? What is the team view as a success for him in year two?
Yeah, I think definitely not regressing. I think they definitely want to see him take a step forward. What that looks like, is it a win-loss record? I think it's more of, can he clean up some of the things that... And there were few of them. I mean, he was extraordinary as a rookie. But sort of clean up things, like, some decisions here and there. I think it will be tougher this season just because there's more film on him. He was a bit of the whole team was a mystery last year. But now they have an idea of their identity. They know what this kid can do, and they're going to be coming for him. So how does he adjust to what the defenses are throwing at him? How does he, continue to, ramp up his film study and his knowledge of the game so he knows what he's seeing out there? And I think it also comes down to, how do you continue to make others around you better? It's sort of that Kobe thing, the Michael Jordan thing, like how do you make the rest of the team better around you? And I think he does a really good job of that. I think he masked a ton of deficiencies on the line, for one, last season, but how do you continue to do that with the new pieces around you? So I think there's definitely an expectation of improvement. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that he can do that in year two, just because of what we saw from him as a rookie, just knowing his work ethic, just seeing how he interacts with other players. I'm not one to oversell things, but I really do think they got a gem in Jaden Daniels. So we'll see how it, I'm very curious about, can they win an NFC championship in year two? We'll see. I mean, there's so many variables that have to go right for them, but we'll see.
And of all those variables, you share a division with the best team right now, the Philadelphia Eagles. I love that you said the Kobe thing, and I didn't do a spit take. It's a reasonable thing to say. It's been a while. Nikki Javala, WashingtonPost.com. You know where to go. She'll be all over it this weekend. And 29th pick. Stay loose. Stay ready in the bullpen. It's a long night awaiting, I know.
I've already started my caffeine loading. Some do carb loading. I do caffeine loading. Ready to go.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Have fun this weekend. We'll catch up soon. Nikki Javala, right, Washington Post. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at
105.1 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard. Always free on the Odyssey app. That's the one with the rewind button. Listen to us live. Listen to us later. It does not matter. Listen to us all the way. You'll want to stop listening to this show probably about, 8 o'clock Thursday night, maybe a little longer, because we're mostly talking Commanders. I don't think they're going to pick until well into the evening. Could be the 11 o'clock hour before the card gets in, turned in. We have a selection. I think Flying Squirrels Baseball will be long done by then. You'll be enjoying Westwood One live national coverage of the NFL draft. And I think the big thing we're discussing here, as we get you ready for the draft with the Washington Commanders, is this decision of what you do at 29, because there's so few high caliber picks here, right? You got the first rounder and the second rounder. And if you make more out of them, that's great. And certainly I think they might make more out of them. But if you just turn in the card twice, which is, I don't think they're leaning towards doing that. I think they'd like to trade down. I don't know that there's going to be trade partners available. I think that's a big part of this is to trade back, you have to have somebody who wants to move forward. And it's not impossible, but it's not looking great in this draft that somebody's going to say, man, I got to move up. I got a guy I got to get. And that's what you need. You need that interest of like, ooh, we got to get our guy before somebody else does. Maybe the Chiefs, right, who are 31, get to 29 because they want their left tackle. But, you know, if he's that good, you want the left tackle. Maybe somebody wants the fifth-year option. Because remember, first-round picks come with a fifth-year option. Now, that's not a huge deal at most positions. It's really a quarterback-driven thing. And so I think that you're looking at maybe a team has fallen in love with Jalen Milroe of Alabama, right? Because he's right on that edge, first round, second round. If he, you know, if somebody really likes him and thinks he could be the future, maybe they trade up. You know, if somebody's mid-30s, they come and get your pick at 29 and send you a little something extra on the side. I think Adam Peters would like to do that. I'm just... Does anybody love Jalen Milroe that much? I don't know, right? If the Giants still don't have a quarterback by then, maybe they do. You know, maybe the Steelers do, but they're up already in the 20s. I don't know. I don't see it personally, but I certainly I think Adam Peters wants to. It's just about drumming up that interest, figuring out how you can get somebody interested in the pick and thinking they have to have this pick and that there are no other options for them, because otherwise you got to turn in the card. And, you know, Jalen Milroe, I do think there's value to getting the fifth year there, right? I don't think that's a ridiculous thing to say. If you're managing an NFL team and you know, use the Packers as an example, right? You know, bring Jordan Love on because he sat for the year. You're now in an evaluation year a little bit earlier than you'd like to be, and they gave him that contract, and then they got to give him the other contract because it was just a two-year contract. They're all the way in committed now on Love, which they probably had to be either way, but it forces their hand with less of a sample size. And so that's why you like the first-round pick. You get a little more sample size, a little more time to look at him before you make the decision. Hey, do we want to extend him? Do we want to go for another year and see and roll the dice, pay market rate if and when we get there? Yeah, that's what you're looking for. I ultimately think they're not going to find a trade partner for this pick. I think they're probably going to have to turn in the card more or less involuntarily at 29. We'll call this what it is, the involuntary selection, because you know that trading partner doesn't emerge. But in Adam Peters, we trust. This is his Super Bowl here, and we'll see what he can drum up. If they turn in the card, you got two decisions here, because we all agree this is a team that needs to be prioritizing the here and now, and the here and now is the next three football seasons. Jaden Daniels is on a rookie contract for three more seasons, and then he'll have that fifth-year option where his salary goes up but not crazy up. And what you'll probably have is the extension signed in that window, if everything goes like we think it's going to go. And that's the sample size, too. We're at 4 years of sample size by the time they negotiate that big long-term deal. We'll know. 4 years is enough. We'll know what he is. We may not at the end of this year. If he takes a slight step backwards, he's still the guy, obviously. If he takes a big step backwards, he'll need to take the step forward in year three. If he keeps dominating, yeah, then we've seen enough at that point. But the bottom line is, he's your guy, rookie contract, next 3 years, best thing in sports, because you got a quarterback who, on the free market this year, is worth $60 million. That's what it is. He would get paid $60 million this year if he could sign with any team and use their, you know, and they could use his services, and it was a true open market. In a non-salary capped league, he'd be worth even more. And that's inside the cap that he'd be worth 60. So inside the cap, he's worth 60. You're paying him way less than that. This is the time to strike. You've got the advantage here where Jaden Daniels is saving you so much money on the salary cap. You got to invest that in him and in his position, right? And we've seen them do that this offseason, bringing in Deebo Samuel for a draft pick, bringing in Laremy Tunsil with draft pick and other compensation. His cap hit this year, $8.5 million.
Comparable quarterbacks, $60 million this year, Jaden Daniels, $8.5 million this year. That's what you have to factor in. And they have. They've invested in him. That's what you have to keep in mind. They've already used two picks in this draft on Jaden Daniels and on the offense, the Laremy Tunsil and the Deebo Samuel. And of course, you know, you want to use all your salary cap room on him too. There are big holes in this defense. And also, you can do more for Jaden. You know, you can always do more for Jaden. You can get him another offensive lineman. You've got to build that depth on the offensive line. You can get him that three-down running back. You can get him a star receiver to pair opposite Terry. So you've got a big three at wide receiver. Terry, the other guy, and then Deebo. Now, just to say, I'm not pushing Terry aside any scenario here. Even if they take a wide receiver at 29, which I don't think they will, I still think they extend Terry. So I don't think Terry's going anywhere, just so everybody's clear on that. Terry's not going anywhere, but you've got a situation here where you want to give your rookie quarterback, now your sophomore quarterback, as many weapons as you possibly can. I mentioned offensive line, probably left tackle. If you're going in that range at 29, you're probably not, maybe a center. I think you could justify a center if it's a 10-year starter kind of guy. Probably not a guard, which is amazing because this franchise once picked a guard with the fifth overall selection in the draft. And that's absolutely insane, of course. So, you know, probably left tackle if they do that. I know people are probably clamoring running back out there. I would not be mad if it's a tight end. And I know that sounds crazy, but I do think the tight end market is about to go insane. I think the tight end is the new premium position right now in the NFL. Well, it's running back right now, but I think it will be tight end by the end of this year. I think the cost on them is going to go way, way up to get a good one. You got a good one right now in Zach Ertz. What's he got? One more year with you. So you've certainly got to address the future there. So you've got a lot of ways you can go offensively, none of which would bother me necessarily. I think if you go left tackle, it's probably Josh Simmons from Ohio State, right? Great production, injury questions. That's why he's going to slide. He was injured for half the year. Rumor is the Chiefs are looking at him at 31, right? So even keeping some smoke there is healthy for trading possibilities. If you want a wide receiver, there will be good wide receivers there. I don't think you can do that in a win-now mode. I think there's too many other win-now items to go with, including running back, where there's a lot of talent. Travion Henderson, is that his range? Could these guys be the one that make it so the two Richmond area kids go in the first round for the first time ever? Don't rule that out, for sure. That would be a fascinating twist on this year's draft if they did that. But all those needs offensively, take care of Jaden. That's one school of thought. Just give Jaden everything he wants. I don't know. I don't want to turn into the Cincinnati Bengals, though. All offense, no defense. And this defense struggled at times last year. So I think when it's time for me to turn in the card, I want to pick a defensive player. And I think I will do that. On the other side of the break, it's draft night. You'll hear it live later tonight on your home for the Washington Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan. 105.1 FM. Continuing our look at the NFL draft, especially the Washington Commanders, as we get you ready for one of the least noteworthy Commanders drafts since 2014, when they gave up the Robert pick and they would have had a high selection overall. It feels like that's the last draft that had this little juice. No first rounder to speak of. Now, they've taken dud first rounders, right? We've seen that. But even in the moment, I've never declared a pick a dud on draft night. The closest it got was Josh Doctson, because there were a lot of weird circumstances around that pick. They had their guy. They knew who they wanted. He went like two spots earlier. They panicked. They traded back. They bought themselves some time to think. And they just kind of turned the card in ultimately. It wasn't who they wanted. But even then, my thought on this is always like, these guys are professionals, and Adam Peters and Lance Newmark and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt and this whole crew have spent
months now watching tape and interviewing these guys and getting to know them and their character, and I trust their opinion on draft night. I'm really glad they're there. I also think if you just, what they call in fantasy, auto draft in fantasy football, I think if you just auto drafted, you'd still end up with a good team. Like if you just took the consensus media board from these guys, the Mel Kiper guys, the Daniel Jeremiahs, the Dane Bruglers, right? All those of the world. I think if you did that, you'd still end up with good football players more often than not. It's easy to overthink this, and it's easy to, oh, you know, they you got to go here or there, whatever. Like, I think if you auto-drafted, you'd still end up in a good spot. I really do believe that. I also think that, you know, there's probably a little too much made of the pre-draft rankings and boards, which is why I'm hesitant to say that, because you see guys drafted out of place. I go, ooh, what are they doing? They know what they're doing. They're putting in the time, they're putting in the work. But generally speaking, the draft falls along the lines of how we think it's going to fall, with a few exceptions. So if you auto draft, I think you'd be fine too. So Josh Doctson was as close as it comes, but on that night, you're like, okay, that was a guy who was a consensus first round NFL wide receiver. So even though it wasn't the one they wanted, it was still an NFL caliber wide receiver. Boy, did that turn out to be wrong. Super, super wrong. They missed on Jamin Davis. I went to bat for that pick. I did because, you know, there was buzz before the draft around Jamin Davis. He tested very well at the combine. But I also thought, Ron Rivera, if anybody on this planet could pick a linebacker, it's Ron Rivera. He was a linebacker on one of the great defenses in the history of professional football. He coached great linebackers, Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly. Nobody should be better attuned to what a good linebacker is than this guy. I'm in. I give him a chance. Turned out to be a dud. So, but on draft night, you remember Brandon Scherff was a tackle on draft night, which you undraft a tackle at 5 overall, I'll go sprint the card in for you. Those guys are worth it if they play 10 years, if they play 15 years, if they become franchise legends. Instead, he's a guard and he walks at the end of a bungled contract situation. And, you know, bungled because they didn't extend him early enough. And I don't think he wanted to be here. I don't know that they could have extended him even if they wanted to. But by the time it got to the franchise tags, it was like Kirk Cousins. You knew he was on his way out when he was on the way out. Linebackers is a great place to get into talking about what we want to talk about here, which is the defense. Because on the other side of the break, I was telling you, there is a school of thought, and I am not disagreeing with this school of thought, that says Jaden Daniels is your quarterback. Holy crap, that's amazing. It's very lucky to be you. Ride with that. Do the Jaden Daniels thing, because Jaden Daniels is awesome. Get him weapons. Offensive lineman, 3-down running back, star wide receiver. So many things you can do with this pick to make Jaden Daniels even better next year. Do him because he's Jaden Daniels. I get that. Here is my counterpoint. 30th. His defense was 30th in the league last year. They couldn't stop anybody. They couldn't stop the Eagles. They couldn't stop the Lions. The Lions stopped themselves a few times. They couldn't get interceptions. They struggled. They couldn't stop the Bengals, right? They couldn't make stops in key moments. I'm going to throw out, there's always exceptions, right? Throw out the Tampa game. In the Tampa game, they did a very nice job of creating those takeaways, of creating the turnovers. So, yes, there were times where they did it, and those times were awesome. And those times helped them win games. But on the whole, this defense struggled. And this defense has a lot of holes. And I mean, just start at any position you want to start with. Start with linebacker, right? Because we were just talking about Jamin Davis. They don't have enough talent at linebacker. Bobby Wagner is not a 100% of the snaps guys anymore. He's awesome. I love that Bobby Wagner is on this team. He can stay as long as he wants. Honestly, he can. But he's not a 100% snap guy. He's a crazy stupid smart. He knows exactly what's going to go on out there. Frankie Louvu,
fantastic pickup. That's your guy, right? And they played a lot of two linebacker sets. So you're 70% of the way there with Luvu and Wagner with zero depth at all. Who's coming in? You tell me Dominique Hampton's coming in? Is that what you're telling me? You telling me Nick Belor is coming in? Is that what you're telling me? I don't know. I don't see it, right? There's not enough depth there. There's not enough talent there. And Bobby Wagner, you've got to assume every year is his last at this point. So you want to turn the card for a linebacker, go for it. You need a linebacker. Let's pick the other two positions because obviously everybody's talking about edge rusher. And I'm talking about edge rusher too. They don't have anybody who can go sack the passer, right? Frankie Luvu is arguably their best pass rusher at this point. Cleland Farrell, I like him a lot. Dorrance Armstrong, I like him a lot. Neither of those guys is explosive game-wrecking style. Cleland Farrell, I think, is a great role player, and I love that he's around here. Dietrich Wise, again, right, that you bring in a guy from New England with veteran experience who knows what he's doing a little bit. You don't have a star edge rusher. And the best teams have star edge rushers because they impact the game. They're impact players. Your TJ Watts, your Max Crosby's of the world, those are guys who are just as valuable as quarterbacks. They're right there. They're number two most valuable behind quarterbacks because they can disrupt the entire game from where they are. You don't have one of those guys. You want to go get one of those guys? Get one of those guys. And here's where the Jayden thing plays into it as well, right? I keep giving the same name, but that's because I haven't been budged off my stance. We did this last year too. For 5 months straight, I said, I want Jayden Daniels as the quarterback. Was that because I'm a genius? No, I got lucky. I wanted Jayden Daniels because he was the highest ceiling player of the guys available in the draft. And the ceiling turned out to be, what is it Michael Jordan said? The ceiling was the roof. The ceiling was through the roof last year, right? There was also a chance he hit the floor, and the floor would have been pretty low, I think, with Jayden Daniels. But he hit the ceiling. I always love a high ceiling guy. With Jayden, though, you have to consider backing off of high ceiling guys. You have to consider taking sure thing production, right? If we're talking edge rushers, I think we're going to be talking about two guys. If we're saying edge rusher, they're on the clock. I think we're going to be talking about, I'm going to be talking about Donovan Ezeraku. He's from Boston College. He's ready. He's ready. Fire him up. Let's go. Great football player. Get after it. Donovan Ezeraku is the sure thing. Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M is probably going to be on the board, and he's tempting because all the measurables are off the charts. He should be really, really good at this, but he wasn't in college. And you got to figure out why, and you got to figure out if he's going to be really good at it. High ceiling, right? Normally, I love the high ceiling guy. I think with Jayden Daniels, though, you need Ezeraku. You need the guy who can come in, get the job done. I haven't even mentioned secondary. Safety in the first round is not my favorite thing in the world. But if you got your guy, go get him because they need a safety. Because you look at this roster, Quan Martin's there and a drop-off. You need a second safety. If you have a lockdown corner, go ahead and take him because Marshawn Lattimore is not a sure thing to be what you think he's going to be. Marshawn Lattimore could very much flame out in training camp or in a preseason game or in a joint practice. Marshawn Lattimore is not guaranteed. Now, I hope this is, an Austin Ekeler, Zach Ertz style. Ooh, everybody's written off Marshawn Lattimore. These guys stuck with him. Look at it pay off. He's awesome. I'd love that. But I think if you're going into the season expecting him to play 100% of the snaps at a prime corner position, that's dangerous. And I think that will continue to be dangerous. And I think we all see why that's dangerous going into the draft too. And so if you see a corner, so I'd take any defensive position. I would. Maybe defensive tackle is the only one I wouldn't because you've got Javon Kinlaw and I like Daron Payne's hanging around. But again, they got rid of Fedarian Mathis. You got Johnny Newton coming off the bench, or maybe Johnny Newton starting Javon Kinlaw coming off the bench. We'll see what happens. I'm talking myself into it. I would take literally any defensive position at 29. I think Ezeraku's my call. Donovan Ezeraku. He's an edge rusher from Boston College. He can play. Day one, he's good to go. And you need that because you need to sustain your progress and your success under Jaden Daniels. That's my guy. Declaring it now. I'm not changing my mind between now and when the pick comes in. You heard it here first. That's my guy, Donovan Ezeraku, edge rusher from Boston College. But I would take any defensive position. If it's offense, I hope it's a left tackle because I would make exception for that. If it's anything else, I don't know that I'm going to feel great about the roster imbalance going into next year. Let's call it that. But we got some other teams in the NFC East to look at as well. Want to make sure we make time to do that, and we'll do that on the other side of the break. Checking right along to AWOD Radio. He takes over at noon. You are listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. We are always worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Didn't know if you knew that or not, but we are talking NFL draft, getting you ready for it. I've been talking a lot of Commanders. I turned in the card before the break, and I'm not changing my mind. Not going to do it. Donovan Ezeraku's my guy. Edge rusher, Boston College. Build the defense. The defense was not good enough last year. I love Dan Quinn. I love Joe Witt. I love Bobby Wagner. I love Mike Sanderstall. But you need to build this defense. It needs to get better to be a more balanced effort so that Jaden doesn't have to carry the team at all times, which I think is important going forward as well. But did you know, fun fact here, did you know there are 31 other teams in the National Football League, and did you know they don't all have it as good as we do? I know. It's incredible. You're thinking, I can't even imagine what that feels like, MP, to be a team that people laugh at year in and year out and is not a contender. I don't know. It must be very sad for those people. Wow. One of those teams, it says right here, is the Dallas Cowboys. Huh, how about that? Must stink to be them. Dallas, of course, legend. Lots of legends. We lived this with Washington. The legends love to pile on when things are not going well. Let's hear from Emmett Smith.
That part bugs me. It bugs me because in my heart, I truly believe our organization should be contending for an NFC championship and even a Super Bowl at least once or twice every decade. Because every team recycles every decade.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so for us not to be there over the last 30 years is a crying shame.
Ah, yes. The veterans are unhappy that the current team has not been a contender since 1990s. Ooh, boy. Yeah, he's right, though, by the way. The Cowboys are now way the outlier in teams who have not made the title game in the NFC. They are, by the way, only one other outlier like that, or there's two other outliers, but they're both in the AFC. Every team has made the conference title game in the 2000s, except four. One in the NFC, three in the AFC. And it's just the Cowboys now, which is great. So, and it was Lions and Commanders who had played each other, and now, obviously, Lions got back 2 years ago. Commanders got back by beating the Lions last year. To Emmett Smith's point, it's not just that the Cowboys should be competitive once a decade. Is it everybody should be competitive, if not once a decade, once every 15 years, right? So, simple math here. Break this down, right? In the NFC, there are 16 football teams. Two of them make the title game every year, right? So in a completely random basis, which is not, I get that. But if things were completely random, you would make the title game one out of every 8 years because that's, you know, your number would just come up if it was completely random. I get that it's not. But the notion that you should be contending once a decade is not outrageous at all. Four teams that have not been to a conference championship game in the 2000s. Dallas Cowboys, of course, we just mentioned that. You got to go back to those days, the Emmett Smith days, the How About Them Cowboys days. It's bleaker in the AFC, by the way. It is way bleaker in the AFC. The Miami Dolphins get a lot of ink because I think they've been good during that time, and I think like we respect them year in and year out, and they're a tough team most years. 1992, it's been a minute. Houston has never been to one in its current non-Tennessee incarnation, which is wild to me. The Houston Texans, of course, you know, do they inherit the Oilers history book? Do they not? It doesn't matter to me. They're the Texans version of the Texans has never been to the AFC title game. Now, it's a little different in the AFC, I think. Admittedly, it's a little different in the AFC because you have Brady and Mahomes, right? Just that stretch was AFC title game, Brady, you know, and then Brady Manning. And then it hands off, like Manning leaves and Brady's like on the way out and he goes to Tampa, but there's no reprieve. You just go from Brady to, Mahomes. That's the AFC. There's kind of one spot available in the AFC title game every year and always has been. So it's a little different for sure. Still wild. I don't have to tell you the Cleveland Browns. I haven't been in a minute. 1989 for the Cleveland Browns. But they're not contenders every year. They're the joke franchise every year. So I'm not surprised by that at all. That those are Dolphins. Yes, Dolphins should have been in it by now. They had that coldest playoff game ever against Kansas City a couple of years ago. Tough draw on that one. Houston is a little wild. They've had some talent come through there, just haven't been able to break through in the Brady, Manning, Mahomes conference. But it's the Cowboys that stand out because they've had good teams in that time. They've won divisions in that time. They've had title contending teams. I mean, 2 years ago was it for them. Everything breaking right. You finally get the home games in the playoffs. You lose to the Packers in the first round, and they were hot that day. But man, that one's going to sting for a very long time there in Dallas. So they've got that hovering over them as you go into the draft. And Jerry Jones hovering over them too. But almost every other team has been in the last 10 to 15 years. Even the Giants, it's Eli. You got to look back to Eli. But Eli wasn't forever ago. Eli's still in our recent memory. Of course, the Eagles have been very, very recently. They're the team to beat in the NFC East, and that's part of the draft strategy. How do you beat your divisional foes? That's part of off-season roster construction strategy. How do you address what other teams are doing and make sure you're ready for it? And that is the Philadelphia Eagles. To a large extent, they are hovering over all this, not just because they won the Super Bowl, because they pushed everybody around and because they, you know, you take out that one bad year and they've been really, really good for a while. I also love, from a personnel perspective, I just love that they were good. They tore the thing down. They built the thing back up. They're flying. They're ready to go again. I think that's ridiculously cool. On their end, I hate how much they are a well-run team. It's very annoying to me. Like NFC East hate rankings, honestly, I make fun of the Cowboys a lot. I just think they're an easy target. They're not my number one. It's Eagles. Eagles are my number one. Cowboys 2, Giants 3. But that may also be a product of just, I don't think about the Giants right now. I don't have a reason to think about the Giants right now, other than it was really annoying to lose to the Giants twice a year when we were both bad. That was frustrating. That got me going. But now, nothing of the sorts. I don't think about them. And are they going to take Shadur? Are they not going to take Shadur? We'll wait. We'll hear the card will come in at the NFL draft, and then we'll be running in earnest towards the season. Rookie camp, OTAs, mini camp. They take the summer break in July. We'll take the summer break in July. And then we'll be out at training camp. I'm not jinxing it by saying it, but we will be out at training camp this year. Last year got knocked out with a big time COVID, did not make it out to training camp. We're going to be at training camp this year. I'm going to speak it into existence. I know we're going to do draft shows. We're going to do really good draft shows. And by the way, when it's all said and done, the whole draft, come back next Monday morning. Adam's going to be at Capitol Ale House. We've still got rally towels, Commander rally towels from the playoffs. He's going to be giving those away at Capitol Ale House. So He's noon to 3. I'm going to be over there starting at 11:30. So if you want to come start your lunch early on Monday, I'll be there at 11:30. AWOD will be there until 3. We'll overlap. We'll crosstalk in person at Capitol Ale House. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's the No Juice NFL Draft for the Commanders. I keep calling it that. But I promise you by the end of the weekend, we're going to have some guys we're excited about. We're going to know about the future of this team. So come chat with us next Monday. Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck, not the downtown one. Capitol Ale House in Innsbruck. Come hang out with AWOD and myself. More MP on the mic to follow after this break. You're listening tonight to the Fan at 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, getting you ready for the NFL draft. Football didn't take over enough of our lives, so we've devoted this beautiful week in April to also thinking about football. Aaron Rodgers says, me too, please. I said on the Pat McAfee show the other day that he's got some personal things going on, and football's not the most important thing in his life right now, but he might play football, but he might not play football. He'll get back to us here in a little while, which if you're a Steelers fan, is exactly what you want to hear. That's the right headspace there. Also said if he plays, he will play for $10 million a year. Made it sound like he really wanted the Vikings to sign him, and they ultimately chose not to. I have no clue why they would possibly make a decision like that. But yeah, that was crazy to me that he was sharing at this stage of the process, because I do think it's just a wait-and-see game now, especially with Pittsburgh, where, you know, if they don't draft a quarterback, if Shadur doesn't slide to them, he's their best option. And by the way, he wasn't impressive in that interview, and he's their best option. So tons of dominoes still to fall between now and when we get to mini camps, when we get to OTAs, when we get to training camp. Biggest one is who's going to be Pittsburgh's quarterback this year, because you've got, you know, that's a tough division every year. Baltimore's not going anywhere, promise you that. And then you add in, you know, Cincy, they had a weird year last year, but they showed a lot of fight at the end, and they still have Joe Burrow, and I still think Joe Burrow's probably one of the three best quarterbacks in football. Don't sleep on Joe Burrow. I think he could have them right back if that defense does anything. But then you've also got defensive stars asking to be traded in Cincinnati, which is a little bit wild. There you go. You know, you go out east, you got, you know, quarterbacks, or you go out west, quarterbacks have shuffled as well. The continuities with the Rams. I like the Rams a lot this year. I just think the Cardinals are going to be treading water for a while. And, you know, there's some revisionist history here where Kyler Murray may have helped sink Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think that's fully true, though. I think back to what Cliff Kingsbury said last year. He was such a young hotshot, rose through the ranks so quickly that he didn't really learn how to be a program administrator head coach. And then you go to a place like Arizona where the dysfunction is very well documented. And you go into a situation where it's hard to be the head coach because you've got so many other things going on in the building and all the crazy stuff that happened there. And that Mexico trip, and the dude got picked up, and it might've been the wrong guy, but it might've been the right guy. There's a lot going on with that franchise. And he just couldn't instill the culture. And he talked about how, right, because he was going to go to the Raiders. He was going to Vegas. He wouldn't have learned any of that there. He doesn't need to rehab his image as a guy who can call plays. There was certainly the Cliff, that was real, and he needed to work through that. But you could do that anywhere. But he was kind of honest in the place. He said, what I needed was to watch Dan Quinn install a culture with a football team. And he did. He got a front row seat to that. It was awesome to see. We all loved watching it for sure. And you know that he had the notebook out and he was taking notes. You know, Dan Quinn showed him how to install a culture with a football team. And when he becomes a head coach, and I say when, not if, he's going to bounce at some point. Those are the lessons he'll need. And certainly, right, with a player like Kyler Murray, you know, all the video game rumors and his in contract, you know, he couldn't be playing video games and things like that. There's that pressure there. All right, how do you manage that? And what he said was, if you haven't set the culture out of the gate, you can't add it back in later. And I think that's just really, really true. I think that if you talk about, you know, guys who are successful coaches, they come in, establish it from day one. It's tough to roll it back. If you give Indianapolis, you give guys the leeway to be late to meetings, they're going to keep being late to meetings. And you try to reinstill that, you don't have the respect at that point. Guys don't do that. That's the lesson Cliff Kingsbury got. And that's what's so important to him and is going to serve him really well in the future. Doesn't mean he'll be able to do it. He's got to figure out how to do it, right? You would think Ben Johnson has that. He's going to need that in Chicago. Learn that from Dan Campbell, who's certainly one of the best in the NFL at it. And I'm intrigued by Detroit this year, for sure, because in Detroit this year, you're losing both coordinators. I'm still not sold Jared Goff is the guy to take you where you want to go. But with Dan Campbell, with that defense, they're going to be competitive week in and week out. And Chicago has huge expectations under Ben Johnson. They had huge expectations last year and didn't reach them. It's a fascinating division. And Green Bay trying to get over that hump post-Rodgers. Get Love to where he can carry the team. A nice playoff win against Dallas a couple years ago. And then, you know, it's competitive week in, week out in that division. They're chasing the Lions as everybody else is. I started out West because I love the Rams. McVay's a culture setter guy. And then you go up to Seattle. McDonald has seen Harbaugh run an established culture. He didn't see him install the culture, though. And now you've got, apparently, this is the headline the other day. This is the Adam Schefter headline the other day. The Seattle Seahawks are entertaining trade offers and have received inquiries for quarterback Sam Howell. Inquiries presumably like, do you think we'll give you things for Sam Howell? And are you crazy? But that's where we're at in the NFL right now. We lived in that space forever. There is a non-zero chance that an NFL team trades for Sam Howell. That's where we're at. Teams are desperate. There's 32 teams that need a star quarterback. There aren't 32 star quarterbacks. And Sam Howell is not a star quarterback either. But if you know you don't have one, you got to do anything. You're desperate. We're desperate. We'll do anything. We'll trade for Sam Howell. Sure. We'll sign Aaron Rodgers. What'd he say on the McAfee show? But you have to. You have to. You cannot win without one in the modern NFL. Steelers prove that year in and year out. If you don't have a star quarterback, you're not going to be a winner in the modern NFL. There's a lot to unpack in that. You know, you can win, you can have a successful team, but also like who is and who isn't. I think about Bryce Young in Carolina. He was showing glimpses down the stretch last year under Dave Canales. I think about Sam Darnold, who wasn't that guy until he was that guy. They may have the ultimate cheat code in Minnesota, a coach who can produce impact quarterbacks, Kevin O'Connell. You know, that's Andy Reid doesn't have that. Andy Reid found one in Patrick Mahomes and nurtured him and gave him a great environment. Washington found one in Jaden Daniels, nurtured him, continues to nurture him, give him a great environment where he can thrive. Just because you find one doesn't mean he's going to succeed. You know, but you got to find one in most places. Sean McVay, I think, can create them to an extent, as he did with Jared Goff, as he did with Matt Stafford, lifting his game to the next level, as he did with Kirk Cousins, right? Kyle Shanahan also has that. He worked with Kirk Cousins, turning Brock Purdy into that, and now paying the price for turning Brock Purdy into that. But if you don't have one, you're not going to bet. Doesn't mean, right, Cincinnati, dysfunctional organization. So they have a guy. Joe Burrow is that guy. It's not going to matter. Very few places have the guy and have the environment. And there's very few other paths to victory beside that. I think the Lions, kind of as close as we've come recently, great defense, mediocre quarterback play, still getting the job done. You think about those great Ravens teams with Ray Lewis and with those fearsome defenses that won Trent Dilfer a Super Bowl. Is there going to be a Trent Dilfer style quarterback winning a Super Bowl in the next 10 years? It sure doesn't look like it.
Not in this league right now. You think about it, Washington last year was in a lot of ways the opposite of that. Great quarterback, didn't have anything on the back end, on the defense to sustain it and keep it going, and yet still finds themselves in the NFC title game. Eagles are balanced. Eagles are a chaotically dysfunctional family, but I think they've given Jalen Hurts the roster he needs to be competitive to win. I think Miami is funny because I do like Mike McDaniel as a coach. I think the GM there is terrible. I don't think they have a good enough roster to win. As you look around the league, as you think about making predictions for this year, I just don't think they're good enough. And they're in a division with Buffalo. And I think as much as we dog on Buffalo and the losing streaks and all that, I think Buffalo's really close to breaking through. I wouldn't change anything if I were them. I'd reload with that group as long as you can. This isn't the clinging to something thing. We're like, we're going to keep running it back. This isn't Trevor Lawrence. This isn't Jacksonville trying to convince themselves this is the year for Trevor Lawrence. This is different. This is a legitimate bona fide team that can win the Super Bowl and has had some bad breaks along the way, which you have to have some good breaks along the way to win Super Bowls. No doubt about that. And I think the Chiefs will be less of a threat this year. I really do. That the roster construction has caught up with them. The rest of the division is catching up with them. If you gave me the field today to win the AFC West, I think I would take it. I have a longstanding policy. We don't bet against Patrick Mahomes around here because he's Patrick Mahomes. It feels like that roster construction is catching up to them. I can't tell you which team, but if you gave me the field, I think I would take it right now. It's the best league in the world. It's with respect to whatever Champions League soccer AWOD's watching. It's the most entertaining league in the world. It never fails to deliver. We love chatting about it. Love chatting with you. Our show rolls on right after this as we continue the build up to the NFL draft, which you'll hear right here on 910 The Fan. Now at
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
105.1. Yep.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle.
With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.